If you were very perceptive yesterday, you might have noticed that Brother Timothy made an executive decision to pass over a question for time's sake, probably because I spent so much time trying to get my words together. So we appreciate his leadership there, and I'm going to take this opportunity to address that question. It was, in a variety of ways, definitely addressed in the charges, etc., but I have been so moved and impressed during my studies of this subject, and that is the role of the minister as a pastor and as an example to the flock of God. And this could easily be just educational, and I desire it that it would not be. It certainly doesn't have to be, because we're going to see this will not be exhaustive either, but it's going to hit some very important points that have really that I've been able to get a hold of as I consider becoming a pastor of a congregation. And as I consider my father in the ministry and those who are examples to me who have lived out these instructions. So as we consider this, I pray that it will lead us as a body to increase in our appreciation and our love for our minister, our pastor, but all ministers who labor in this way, to respect them, to have a strong desire to lift them up to the Lord, because they need his help to fulfill this calling. So much, as Brother Isaac made clear yesterday in fear and trembling, that I, Brother Zach, Brother Bobby, the most loved minister you can think of, is insufficient to fulfill this duty in himself. And so we need the Lord to move upon us and to help us in fulfilling this role. John chapter 17. Or John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, we're going to read a very intimate scene between Jesus and Peter. Before we get to that scene, we want to notice first in verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship," this is John 21, "for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken." Now this is an interesting type that it anticipates what we're about to read, in that Jesus gave a command to basically fish and bring those fishes in to Jesus. And it appeared that it was a volume that was too much for what Peter had maybe equipped for, or what his own preparation had provided for, which was the net. But the implication is they would have expected it to break the net, yet it did not. And so I'm not spiritualizing this per se, but it is an anticipation of what Jesus is about to say to Peter. Because in verse 15, we read, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" That is, more than these other disciples love me, because he had claimed that when everyone else deserts you, I will not desert you. But we know of Peter's struggles. He saith unto them, unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith unto him a second and a third time, feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Jesus says to Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. And so this is the calling of Peter after, or as an expression of his love for Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, we're going to read chapter 6 and verse 4. Why do sheep need to be fed? Why do they need to be looked after? Because they're weak. They cannot, they don't have the ability, the means to provide for themselves in a protective, self-sufficient way. And so Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep. But you're not going to feed them with what you come up with. You're going to feed them with my word. And I have provided this. Acts chapter 4 and verse, Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, we read that Paul says that we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, Brother Isaac spoke to him on this yesterday and made the point that these two items indicate, fill in the hole that the minister of God has inherently of being insufficient. And so, two things, prayer and ministry of the word. Prayer, because the minister is so insufficient by himself to fulfill the role that he should and does, Lord willing, have an intense recognition of the need for the Holy Spirit to work on the sheep and to make this feeding, this casting out of the food effectual, to make the ground in a prepared to receive the word of God and for God to work. And secondly, the ministry of the word, because this is Jesus' ordained way to feed those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, which is a mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So these two elements are encapsulate the responsibility of the minister to feed the sheep. This is how he does this. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and 11. We read that Jesus Christ gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, the maturing, the equipping, the furnishing is what this word actually means. The complete furnishing of the saints. So, Jesus gave the gift of pastor and teacher to his church, his sheep. And the pastor's role is to administer, is to fulfill the work of the ministry, which is going to completely furnish the sheep. Now, what does this look like? When you think, when you hear the word furnish from a scriptural standpoint, what might be the first passage you think of? Well, for me, it's 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16, and 17 that speaks of the word of God, which is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, we know that it is the Word of God that Jesus Christ has given us to enable us to live a life of good works, to live in all godliness and honesty. He has given us what we need to do this. And so the pastor has an obligation to do the work of the ministry, which is going to completely furnish the saints. But it is through the Word of God that is the thorough furnisher of the man of God unto all good works. So he's administering that which will completely and thoroughly furnish you. This is the work and the responsibility of the minister, to give himself to beseeching God, because without him it will be a fruitless work. And then working hard to administer the scriptures to the sheep, to thoroughly furnish them to live in a way that honors God. Well, how does the minister administer the Word of God? Consider 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, this is where I start to get nervous. I was nervous a long time ago, but this one really gets me nervous. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Study to show the... Okay, so this is Paul speaking to Timothy. And this is his exhortation to him as a minister of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, that God would say, well done. A workman, that's that sweat, that spiritual sweat that's going in to administer the Word of God. A workman, a laborer, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Greek behind this has the idea of cutting a straight line. And so this means the minister needs wisdom to understand. He needs discernment to know how to know what it applies to, so he doesn't misapply the text. He needs clarity to be able to communicate effectively, and to wisdom to understand the needs of the flock and what kind of food they need to be fed so they can be thoroughly furnished to fulfill godliness in their life. He has to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And this is a fearful calling, that we would rightly divide the word of truth, because it's God's word. It is truth. But it's also the truth that God has given us his Spirit to help us in this work. And this is why I guarantee you I'm about to become much more fervent in my prayer life. Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. An exhortation to be sober as we look into the Word of God and discern it and apply it. Well, secondly to that, let's go to 1 Corinthians, because chapter 14, 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Understanding the Word of God, understanding how it should be applied, what to say and what not to say, and when to say it, when to preach it. That takes a lot of discernment. And if we understand the Word of God, if we know the truth, but I cannot communicate to you the truth so that it is digested and useful for you, so that you are actually furnished unto good works, then that is not useful, is it? I may be feeding my soul, but I'm not feeding the soul of the sheep of God. And so we're going to read a principle here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I've got it figured out, y'all. I know it. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith. Sounds like a preacher, sounds like a minister that I would want to be here and preach, right? But what if this minister does not have charity? What if he does not have love in his soul for the sheep that he is feeding? I am nothing. Well, in chapter 14, he gets more specific as to the preaching of the gospel with this principle, because he was addressing a concern where certain people in the church were speaking in tongues and exhibiting their gifts, but the reality was people couldn't understand, and thereby they were not being edified. And so they may have been furnishing themselves, but they weren't furnishing the sheep of God. So let's read here. Following after charity and follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise ye, preacher in particular, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Now this is serious, because as I consider going to another place, to people that I don't know like I know you, and learning who they are, learning their needs, learning their personalities, what have they already been taught? What do they need teaching on? How much do they understand the scriptures? And of course, even within a single congregation, that's going to vary. But the task at hand is to be able to understand the word and to communicate it in a way that is profitable. Not just to display knowledge, which was shot down very well yesterday, which I'm thankful for, but to be edifying the sheep, to feed them so that they are equipped unto good works and to live a life of holiness. So must we pray without ceasing that the Holy Spirit would help us, would help me, in this endeavor. Words easy to be understood that are actually true and helpful. So this is the calling of the minister to pastor his flock. There's another side of the coin that's certainly part of the ministry, his ministry. And this is, if we go back to John chapter 21, after Jesus instructs Peter to feed my sheep, he says in verse 19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Feed my sheep and follow me. This is a strong command to the minister of God, as it was a strong command to Peter. This is in line with what he had already said. If you love me, feed my sheep. Well, to do this well, to do it in a way that honors Jesus Christ, I must actually, personally, be following Jesus Christ. Because it's pointless, it's futile to speak the words without the Spirit. It's futile to say the right thing but without the Spirit of truth. So Jesus says, follow me. Some of his harshest words in Matthew were against the hypocrisy of the preachers during the day, the scribes and the Pharisees. They knew the scriptures like the back of their hand. And I'm sure that they really did. And they added a lot to that. But they knew it. And everyone revered their knowledge and feared them, not in a godly fear way. Yet, Jesus eviscerates them, calling them out for saying something, but not actually doing the same thing over and over again. And so Jesus is concerned about Andrew Beauchamp not only telling you or preaching to you what the Word of God instructs us, but that I actually do it myself by example. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians. Of course, this is not news. If Brother Zach had a secret life and didn't really try to live in the way that he tells all his sheep to live, how effective do you think that would be? First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye, this is Paul speaking to the church, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And that is an important clarification. Because we believe that the Word of God is authoritative, is supreme. It's not the preacher that's supreme or that has this inherent authority over the church. But we're under shepherds leading the flock to Jesus Christ. We're leading the flock to obey Jesus Christ, not to do what the preacher says to do. It is to do what Jesus says to do. So be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And of course, this requires that you would know what Christ is teaching, so that we all have a responsibility to understand and be in the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, understanding this call to be someone to be followed by the body. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 10, we'll start. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy, who's a young preacher. I don't know how old he was, but I'm a young preacher too. And so this speaks loud and clear to me. Let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth. It would be easy for a young minister to not gain or lose the respect and the attention of the sheep. Because a young minister already has things against him. He doesn't have experience. He hasn't been studying the Word of God very long, especially standing next to a Brother Bobby or a Brother Zach. So he already has these things against him from a natural standpoint of, oh, can I trust him? Oh, should I listen to him? But Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. But then he tells him how this is going to happen. How will you not be despised? How will you be listened to instead of being a reproach to the people? But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I think he just about covered it. All of life, be thou an example. He says in word. This probably means speech. It could mean the word of God, but it probably means in this instance, speech. How you're speaking in conversation or your way of life, how you conduct your life in charity. So are you a man who loves? Does love define or blanket your life? Is everything that you do, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 happening for you, for me? In spirit. Wow. Well, that one seems extra difficult because that's not something I can just make happen. Again, why I must be a man of prayer. That my ministry, that Brother Zach's ministry, that Brother Timothy's ministry, isn't just saying the right thing and writing a most excellent book, but that he has the Spirit of God in him and is working, depending upon the Spirit to make effectual, make fruitful the work that he is doing, that he is a man depending upon the Spirit of God. In faith, and understanding the body of faith, but I think especially living out a life of faith, as in, as Brother Dan and I were talking about last night, the simplicity of this truth, that I should just believe God. I believe God. No exceptions, no ifs, ands, or buts. I believe God. And my life is lived in that way. I'm a man of faith in purity, moral purity, conduct purity. This is a singleness of heart that is totally aligned and in pursuit alone, exclusively towards Jesus Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is Jesus saying, those who have one intention, one desire, only one purpose, and that is Jesus Christ. Purity. And of course, this means we won't be doing lots of other things if we have that singleness of heart. So, what an exhortation that this is how a young minister in particular, but every minister, will avoid being despised by the people of God because he is walking what he's talking, or making the very best effort that he can by the grace of God. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 6, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things, showing thyself, this is Paul speaking to Titus, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. No evil thing. Would God bless me and all of us to have such an irreproachable character. And it will be as we lean on him and lean on his Spirit. This is the calling of the ministry. To be given to prayer, to be given to the ministry of the word, so that the sheep will be thoroughly furnished, so that they will be able to digest and apply and live out the truths of Jesus Christ to his honor and glory. And so you see why it is so important that we support, encourage, love, and respect, and listen to our ministers, because they're God's servant, and they have been called out especially for this purpose.